Is it on? Yeah. Okay, now you can hear me. I walked in here this morning and saw Bill and talked to him a little bit. And Dennis was yelling at me and saying, "What's the title of your sermon?" And I forgot that he always needs the title. So I thought, oh, well, let's see. Okay, Making Friends. And what, Dennis, you gave me some kind of a, "What's that?" or something like that, if I remember right. but anyway, I want to show you a text. You've been there before, I'm sure. But turn, take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 16. Do you like stories? We all like stories, do we not? And Jesus told a lot of stories. You know what those were called? Parables, exactly right. Some of those parables are difficult to understand. What exactly was the message? You have to look at the surrounding context and who he's talking to. But we're going to look at a parable this morning that he told, a story. My family likes to tell stories. I've got two sons. I think I've shared this with you before. And they each have three kids. So that's a family of five, and five is 10, and Sandy and I, 12. And now they've adopted this year, they have two exchange students. One of my younger son has two exchange students, one from Germany and one from Italy, that are living in their home. Great girls. We're praying for Christ to come into their heart also. But they are students out at West Vigo. So with them, Sandy, what's that make? 14, right? 14 of us. So when they come, we all sit around the table. We have a large, 12 foot long. We had this Amish guy over in Arthur, Illinois, that made an oak. It was like a farm table, a great big long thing, and it's got benches on the side that the legs fold under. The Amish people would meet a lot of times in their homes for their worship service, their churches on Sunday. And so they would share, and a lot of people would come, and they'd have to have enough chairs and everything, and they had these benches that folded and could be packed away somewhere. So he made us some benches. So we have enough room around the table that all of us can get together. We have some great time. We usually share together as a family on birthdays. Sandy always does a big meal on a birthday celebration. The kids get to eat what they choose to eat. Sandy fixes it. And we have a great time, and we sit around the table, and we eat, and we share stories together. Great time. So the big thing today that we're going to look at is a story that Jesus is going to tell us and teach us in Luke chapter 16. Let's see what he has to say for us personally. Let's see what we can do to change what's going on in our life. We need changes, do we not? I mean, you already talked about how you have been changed throughout different times in your life. So we want to see this morning how we can literally change some things. And a lot of it is making friends. Sandy and I call it making friends for the kingdom of God. Let's pray before we take a look here real quickly. Lord God, open our hearts to your truth. I thank you for your Holy Spirit that lives inside your people. I thank you for that Spirit that will help us to be in tune with your truth, will help us to understand it, and help me to teach it correctly, and then, Lord, that you would apply it. Help us to apply it to our personal lives, that things might be changed for your glory, that we might bring glory to yourself. You are so good to us. We've heard this morning how great that you have been in people's lives here at this congregation, that you would, we continue to ask that you would bless in your way through your text this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, now if you remember back, setting the context here of chapter 16 of Luke, back in chapter 15, you have Jesus talking to the Pharisees and talking to some sinners, As it says in chapter 15, verse 1, "Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him." Now, isn't that interesting that he says tax gatherers and sinners, when we know that we're all sinners? Jesus tried to get it across to the religious leaders that they themselves were a big part of the sinning crowd. But don't look down on that, because we're all sinners. Isaiah 53 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. We've each turned our own way." We're all sinners. But the Pharisees say, "Wait a minute, we're not sinners." So he's telling the story in three stories. Matter of fact, in chapter 15, he talks about the lost. He talks about who are sinners, who are the lost. And he talks, first of all, he talks about looking for the coins, the lost coin, one coin that was lost. Then he talks about the sheep that were lost, or vice versa. And then he talks about the two sons. You know, you've heard about the prodigal son. Well, it turns out to be prodigal sons, plural, at the last part, the last story he tells in chapter 15. And the son that is the older son that stays home with the father, I believe, is probably the Pharisees that he's trying to get through to. And the son that stays home are the guy that didn't do anything, doesn't want his money, doesn't want to leave home. He wants to stay right there. But he's lost too. We're all lost. We're all lost sinners. If you're not in Christ, you're lost. So that was the group that heard the stories that he's telling in 15. Now we come to 16, and verse 1 it says, "Now he was also saying to the disciples," and guess who else was sitting there listening, and especially that we want to take a look at in verse 14. Chapter 16, verse 14. "Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, were listening to all these things." How about that? The Pharisees, Luke points out here, that the Pharisees were also listening to Jesus. The Pharisees are the religious leaders that say no, and they're the ones that had Jesus crucified. They're the ones that say, "No, look at us, we're righteous." They were also the rich people. The Pharisees were wealthy, because they said from Deuteronomy in the Old Testament, "If you follow and do what I say, then I will bless you." So they were thinking, "Okay, we're blessing, we're being blessed by the Lord with all this money, because we follow you." That's called prosperity theology, which I don't agree with. We don't try to get more money. We're going to see what money means here in this chapter and how we are to use it. But the purpose of believers or anybody is not to just gain more money. Jesus even said, it's the rich man that has trouble getting into the kingdom of heaven. Because the rich depend on their riches instead of depending on Christ who died. We who are in Christ today, we depend on Christ totally and His work, what He did for us. He died for us, and we accept that personally for us. So we are a follower of Jesus Christ. Christ is my Lord and my Savior, period. And I grow and learn by His Word into that He is in charge of my life. He's in charge of every aspect of my life. So we come down to chapter 16, and we got these Pharisees, and we got these rich people, and we got these disciples. We have all these sinners that are listening to Jesus, and he says this. "Now he was also saying to the disciples, there was a certain a rich man who had a steward, and the steward who was reported to him as squandering his possessions." Guess who these stewards are? Us. Stewards, another word for steward is manager. A manager is somebody that takes care of. You are a steward. If you're in Christ Jesus, you are a steward, you are a manager. And everything you own, and we're going to talk about riches here in a second, but everything that you own personally belongs to God. When you have a fire that, let's hope, never takes place, but it makes no difference. It's God's. You just manage it. Everything that God has given me and Sandy and I, all the riches that we have, belong to God. I am just a manager of it. All right, so what we have here is we have a story about a rich man that had a manager that managed, that steward that managed all his properties. And he says, and he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your stewardship, for you can no longer be steward." In other words, the manager is going to lose his job. That's not about losing salvation. It's a story about taking care of what God has given you. And this manager, this steward, did not do a very good job of it. And so he's losing his job. But before he loses his job, he's got to make an account of it. And the steward said to himself, "What shall I do, verse 3, since my master is taking the stewardship away from me? I am not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship," he's losing his job, "they will receive me into their homes." The manager says, "What shall I do? I'm losing my job. How can I make some positive out of this? What can I do to help this thing?" So what he did was, verse 5, he summoned each one of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Interesting. Verse 8, and his master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. "For the son of this age, the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light." What the manager did is he went to each person that had property that belonged to this rich man, and he said, "Okay, how much do you owe? I owe 100. Okay, take and give me half of it, and that'll take care of your bill." And he says to another, "How much do you owe?" And he says, $70. Okay, take half of it, or whatever it was, an oil or whatever. So he says, "What am I getting out of this?" Well, one thing he's getting, the big thing, is he's getting a friend. Because these guys have taken care of their bills by not paying the full debt. Sounds a little shrewd to me, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a crooked story? But guess what Jesus said? The master paused the unrighteous steward because he had acted. His master praised the unrighteous steward because he had acted shrewdly. "For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you," I believe that's Jesus now speaking, "I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the mammon of unrighteousness." What is the mammon of unrighteousness? Money. Make friends by means of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when it fails, they may receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteousness, mammon, unrighteous mammon, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll serve the one and not the other or whatever. All right. So you got the story down? All right, now we're going to get kind of tough and we're going to get kind of practical. If I can do that with you this morning. And if you hate me after this, it's okay. I'm your brother in Christ. It's okay. But I want to ask some questions of you. I know you're going through a hard time as a church. I know you have 15 or so people that attend regularly on a Sunday morning. And I know you've been praying a lot. And I'm sure you've had meetings about where do we go from here. And I remember the Terre Haute Bible Center being on Wabash Avenue and drawing scads of people. And we looked at the table, Sandy and I coming in this morning. We saw pictures of what the church was like. And the pastor, Jerry, has been here for over 30 years. And he has seen things happen. And I'm sure that there wasn't this crowd here when he started. And it's gone downhill. And I know we've all gone through the COVID. And I know things have changed for many churches. And I know the church that I started here in Terre Haute, Cornerstone Bible Church, is no longer what we were. I know their attendance has dropped off. But what do we need to do practically? I look at this room. I look at all these pews. And I think, wow, I don't even know what this holds. 300 to 500 people? And 15 of you that come and gather together on a Sunday morning, which is fantastic. But what do we do? What can we do? Practically, can we learn anything from this story that Jesus teaches? Is there something about making friends for the kingdom of heaven? Making friends for God's glory. And not just as a church body, but individually. We're talking about money. We're talking about managing what God has given each one of us. And we're all different. We all have a different amount of money. We all have different things that belong to us that we are managing, actually belongs to the Lord. Let me share a little bit with you about what I did when I came back, when I came to Terre Haute to church plant. 4 years at Dallas Theological Seminary. God blessed Sandy and I's socks unbelievably. He provided in miraculous ways day after day for 4 straight years down in Arlington, Texas. We sold our house here in Terre Haute. We took our two sons, little, I don't know how old were they, let's see, 74, 83. Hey, Zach was 9 and Andy was 4. Uprooted them from their schools, took them down to Arlington, and I said, Lord, if you want this to happen, if you want me to go to seminary and spend 4 years of my life studying how to study the Scriptures and how to teach the Scriptures, then I'll stay with it as long as you provide financially for my family. And he provided unbelievable. I could go into all kinds of ways to tell you and show you. I mean, it was unbelievable. How we've heard stories this morning about how God has blessed you guys in your lives. But we came to Terre Haute, church planted. Started a new church. Started a Bible church. Terre Haute Bible Center. Cornerstone Bible Church. Most of the churches that we've attended since I was in the military have had the word Bible in them. Because the Bible is so important. And I wanted that to happen in Terre Haute, or at least have somebody else with the idea of a church with a Bible teaching. So we came back. Okay, Lord, now what? Don't have a house. My mother was still living here in Terre Haute, so we bunked in with her for a little bit until we could get a place. Put our kids in school here. Church. We started the church with 10 people, 3 families, 2 fours and 1 2. First Sunday we met in a home here in Terre Haute. Luke chapter 16 was my first text. And God used this text to grow our church. And the way He did it was, it says, be shrewd. Make friends for the kingdom of heaven. Whatever it takes. And we did some crazy stuff as a church to draw people in. I told Pastor Jerry that Sunday nights, I taught through the book of Romans. When we first started, we rented an office area across from the gas company on Cherry Street. If you remember the building that was there, we had an office that we rented, and we had it permanently so we could establish a church in it, which we did. And we met Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Bible studies during the week, and so on, and prayed. And on Sunday night, taught through the book of Romans, trying to bring in some people. We had a pinball machine in the basement. We had a ping pong table in the basement. I hope that doesn't shake too many of you up, because I didn't lose my salvation because of that. Amen. But we drew people. We drew people. The church grew within 2 years. We were about 30, 35 people. And of course, Sandy and I had no income, and God provided again. It was unbelievable how God provided. I did some officiating, basketball officiating, drove around the state. I taught some driver education that I had in my background. Sandy did some substitute teaching. I did substitute teaching. I'll tell you something else that Sandy did. When she was substitute teaching, those poor teachers, they didn't have time to fix their meals, so Sandy would fix bread. She would get down on the kitchen floor and beat the yeast in a bowl, making bread, and she would take it to the school, and the teachers would, they loved it, and they would pay her. That's how God provided for us. That's one way. Then we grew from that building, and within a couple of years, and we moved to 20th and Crawford Street here in Terre Haute. It was a grocery store. We moved in there, and we grew in a couple of years from, 35 to 60 or so. And we were pushing the walls out, so it's time to maybe move into a real church building, which we did. And we ended up buying a church. We were able to purchase a church at that point with the people and the income we had on Home Avenue, which is where the church is now. So we got a brick front. And we did all kinds of different things to draw people. We tried to be shrewd. Shrewd is kind of a negative sounding word, isn't it? Be shrewd. But Jesus says to be shrewd with what I've given you, with the money that you have. Make friends for the kingdom of heaven. And we did that. And we taught the scriptures. We taught the gospel. Every time I taught the scriptures, every time on Sunday morning, we would always invite people to come to Christ and share the good news of Jesus Christ. We grew. We continued to grow over 100 people. And we used other means to grow those people. It wasn't just me and my Bible teaching and the people. Yes, we became a family of believers, and we were able to share together, pray for each other, provide and help people meet needs and all that kind of stuff. But God worked in our lives. He worked in through the monies that we had to make friends for the kingdom of heaven. We built a gym. In that gym, we had things like volleyball tournaments and drew people in to play volleyball. And we had a Awana group. The Awanas had a place to play. And we had a dartboard session where we threw darts for grown-up men's sessions. Sandy started a group called Women Getting Together and Sharing and Teaching, and she shared the gospel and shared the truth. And God blessed. God brought. But it was more than just praying. We didn't do like, we did. We didn't just pray. We prayed, we invited, I walked, knocked on doors in the neighborhood. I did, we did a lot of different things. We had, for Vacation Bible Schools, we had a girl that had a horse, and she would bring the horse for the kids. And I mean, we did all kinds of stuff like that. But God used us. God grew the church. And then they've gone through it. What's you guys have gone through, apparently, you know. But it's more than just praying. We can't just pray. It's got to be like Nehemiah, Ezra, the Old Testament. You know, when they were come back to build the walls, to build the temple from their exile. And then when they start building the walls, this is in Nehemiah chapter 4. When they start building the walls to protect, the enemy wanted to knock the walls down, and so they did two things. They prayed, and they put people out to guard the walls. They didn't just pray. I mean, you want to pray. Prayer is important. Don't let me cut short on that. But it's more than just praying. It's doing. And I look at this facility. I look at what you have. The pews is... You think if I had come out of seminary and I saw a place like this and I had the possibility to come here, you think I would say no? I'd say, God must be directing our lives, Sandy. You have facilities that are fantastic. Little Abby was here one of my first Sundays I was here, and she took me all over the place and showed me everything. Even came up here and showed me, that's our cross. She showed me, she was a friend to me, let me tell you. But then not long ago, I met with Pastor Jerry, and I said, well, I saw this and saw that. And he says, come here. And he took the keys, and he took me up the stairs, and he opened a door that was locked. And I said, wow, you have two ping pong tables. You have a, I don't even know, foosball or soccer thing. You have room. I mean, there's a lot. I don't know where you guys are as far as you're praying and where you go from here. But from what I see, and as far as facilities, from what I see as far as hearts that you people have for the Lord, it sure seems like the Lord could use this place. And when I see things like Luke 16, and when I saw us as a church live it out, make friends for the kingdom of heaven and do it in a shrewd way. You remember when Jesus sent his disciples out in Matthew chapter 10? He told them to be as shrewd as what? You remember what that was? Vipers, be as shrewd as vipers, snakes, serpents. That's almost a sneaky way. Be sneaky, but he also says in that same verse, be innocent as doves. Innocent for sure when it comes to evil. But you have such facilities here that can't be, they could be used to God's glory. But it takes your minds praying, you're doing that, okay, but it takes your minds thinking, how can we make friends for the kingdom of God? I love the Park Springs Bible Church got the name Bible in the middle. I love the Park Springs Bible Church. I love your pastor. I want to see it grow. Pardon me, Sandy?
Terre Haute Bible, this is not Park Springs Bible.
Oh, yeah. There you go. And that's why I'm not a pastor anymore. because I can't even speak correctly. And God knows it. That's why He put me where I am right now today. But I look at the facilities here and I look at what you have and the people that are here. It doesn't take, 15 people, whatever. Make friends for the kingdom of heaven. Do it in a shrewd way, Jesus says in Luke 16. But do it. Start thinking of what can we do to build this. And it's going to take some money. So it's going to take your managing, your money, growing a few and more money and so on. I'm sorry, money has to be a part of the project. God will bless. But you've got to be willing to do that. You know, we as a church, I'm talking about we, Cornerstone, when I was there, it got to the point where we got comfortable with ourselves. We got comfortable as a family. It's so nice being together and sharing as a family like we did and pray for each other. But we almost get to the point where we're too comfortable. We all sit in the same pew every Sunday. We didn't want to take Virginia's pew this morning. We had to ask her where she was sitting. And usually when you come, you sit in the same pew, except Bill, we're over here, if I remember right. I mean, you're throwing me off totally. But we get comfortable. And as Sandy tells me, as I'm old now, and I get set in my ways. We all do that too. So it might be a little more difficult for you people. Well, most of you are old. I mean, some of us, Linda, you're not old, but some of the rest of us are getting older now. And we get so comfortable and we get so accustomed to the way things are that sometimes it's difficult to make changes too. But Sandy and I pray for you guys every day as a body of believers, that God would use you guys and who you are. The mighty army of Terre Haute Bible Center. Yes, and I don't think God's finished with you yet. I hope not. I hope and pray that God moves within this body of believers. I'd love to come and see the parking lot filled, the pews, because I've seen it before at Park Springs Bible. And growing up as a kid over in Illinois, we'd come over to Youth for Christ rallies on Wabash. Now, I asked my sister not very long ago. She's a little older than me, but she remembers. She remembers the Youth for Christ rallies at Terre Haute Bible Center, Wabash. It's no different. Same name, different location, different people, but still available to be used by the Lord. The question is are you willing? Are you willing? Are you willing to avail yourselves? Are you willing to start thinking, being shrewd to make friends for the kingdom of heaven? As I talked to Bill this morning when I came in here, the Lord could come today. He could. He could come tomorrow. But the Lord also has a heart for people. And He's willing, as it says in Romans, He's willing to wait and wait and wait, patiently wait for one more, two more, three more. We don't know when. We don't know when that time comes, but it will. God's got a program. We want to be part of it. We want to bring glory to God. You can bring glory to God through your own personal life at your own personal home. by using what God has given you as managers, manage it to bring glory to God, no matter where. God use us. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your heart. We are your people, and we thank you for that. To be known as part of your family, what a blessing. And as Virginia shared, that there's nothing that can separate us from your family. You love us that much. Christ your Son died. But Lord, there's work to do. And you work through people. You work through Sandy and I with Cornerstone Bible Church. And you can still work at Terre Haute Bible Center. I pray for these dear people with their hearts that love you. I pray that you would show them how to make friends for your kingdom. Lord, it's just a matter of, we know, just a matter of bringing people. You will change the heart. Help us to be willing and open. I thank you for our time. I thank you for this morning. I thank you for every heart that is here. And I pray that they belong to you. And I pray that you would move in the hearts of these dear people. And I thank you in Christ's name. Amen.